Amen. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to open them to the book of James, chapter 3. We're back in James this morning after our four-week break for Easter. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, there's some in the pew rack in front of you, and the book of James is found on page 1197. We're going to stand in just a minute and read that together. So if you don't have a Bible, grab that one in the pew in front of you and turn to page 1197. A few years ago, I think, y'all have to correct me here, I think it was 2016, 2017, that our church took a mission trip to Helena, Montana. Was that 2016, Jim, 2017? Close enough. While we were there, we went there to help a new church plant build their building. They're rocking now. Their name is Big Sky Fellowship. You can check them out on Facebook. They're just doing great things for the kingdom and for the gospel. While we were there, many things happened. The building fell down, and it wasn't even my fault. Lots of great things happened, but the Lord was there through all of that, and we were able to recover from that and get them in good shape. On the way home, we decided to stop at Yellowstone National Park. How many of you have ever been to Yellowstone National Park? My goodness, is it beautiful. It is by far the favorite place that I've ever been to on earth. I could go there. I could live there. It is a beautiful, scenic place. While we were there, Jim, you'll remember this. While we were there, we saw several acres that were burned. Do you remember that? And we had a conversation like, why don't they clean that up? And there's some kind of a government regulation. They can't clean that up. But it piqued my curiosity. So I went back and did some research, and I discovered the wildfires at Yellowstone. There was a massive wildfire in 1988. How many of you remember that massive wildfire in 1988? In fact, it was a huge fire. In fact, to this day, 35 years later, you can still see what they call burn scars from that fire. So there's still evidence 35 years later of that fire in Yellowstone. 36% of the park was burned, which equates to 793,880 acres burned. The fire of 1988 was actually called the fires of 1988 because it was a collection of fires, 51 different fires to be exact. Nine of them were started by people, campfires, those kind of things. None of them on purpose. 42 of them were started by lightning, and all of them started by one tiny little spark. And the government that year spent $120 million to fight those fires, to put them out, which is the equivalent of $220 million today. They used 10,000 firefighters to fight the blaze. A ton of wildlife was displaced. Several hundred large mammals lost their life. And tragically, two people were killed in those fires. So think about that for just a minute. A few sparks from a campfire, a bolt of lightning, and nearly 800,000 acres of Yellowstone just went up in flames. And $120 million was spent. And 10,000 firefighters were used to put the fire out. And two people lost their lives. And 35 years later, we can still see the damage of that fire caused. Here's my point. Uncontrolled fire can quickly turn into uncontrollable fire. And fire can do a ton of damage. And you may wonder, what in the world has that got to do with the Bible? What does that got to do with John chapter 3? Well, this morning we're back in the book of James, James chapter 3. And in the first half of James chapter 3, we find just how destructive our words can be. James uses the word tongue, to be exact, but that's just another way to describe our words, the things that come out of our mouth. And to communicate the importance of our words, James uses both similes and metaphors. Now, a simile is when you say that one thing is like another thing. So the word is like a lamp to my feet. There's a great simile in the book of Song of Solomon. He's talking to his love, Solomon is, talking to his love. And he pays her a great compliment. He says, "Sugar pie, honey bear, your hair is like a flock of goats coming down the Mount of Gilead." So Carla, your hair is like a flock of goats. That's it? I am never flirting with you again in public. That's a simile. When you say one thing is like another thing, a metaphor is when you say one thing is another thing. So the kingdom of God is. Or here in James, he uses this. for the metaphor. The tongue is a fire. Not like a fire, but is a fire. And what James is doing is he's showing us just how powerful our words can be and how dangerous our words can be and how serious we should be concerning our words. A little gossip, a little jab, a little hurtful comment. Well, we'll see that James shows us that those things, those little things, are actually really, really big deal. Today we're going to be in James chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to stand as we read James chapter 3 verses 1 through 12 together, standing in honor of God's word. And today I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible, so if your translation is a little bit different, track along with me. James chapter 3 verses 1 through 12. The Bible says this: "Not many should become teachers, my brothers, because you know that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is mature, able also to control the whole body. Now, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we direct their whole bodies. And consider ships, though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts of great things. Consider how a small fire sets ablaze a large forest. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members. It stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers and sisters, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a saltwater spring yield fresh water." Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I've been convicted this week as I prepared for this sermon. Very practical instructions that you give us as you remind us just how serious our words are and how every word that comes out of our mouth will be held to account for that. Father, I pray that this morning you would help us, help me to communicate your message with clarity. I pray, Father, that by the work of the Holy Spirit, you would move in this building, move in the hearts and lives of people who are here and those who are joining by the radio and Facebook and YouTube. Father, we pray that you would bring conviction where conviction is needed, repentance where repentance is needed, and restoration where restoration is so desperately needed. We thank you, Father. We love you, and we pray this all in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Three reasons why your words matter. Are you ready? Number one, your words have the capacity to control your actions. Here, James uses those two similes to describe the power of our tongue. The tongue is like, it's like a bit that goes into the horse of a mouth used to control a horse. Now, the average horse... Brittany, you're a horse person. Correct me if I'm wrong. Chris, I know you're a horse person too. The average horse weighs between 900 and 1,200 pounds. Okay? The average horse eats 20 pounds of food per day. Is that right? Drinks 8 gallons of water per day. Listen, if somebody tells you you eat like a horse, that's not a compliment. Horses are strong dudes. They can pull up to 2,500 pounds, up to, in some cases, nearly three times their weight. Horses are strong dudes, but James tells us that horses can be controlled with one little bit. Verse 3, look in your Bibles. "Now, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we direct their whole bodies." I have a bit here. I used to say I'm a rugged outdoorsman. I don't say that anymore because I didn't even know what this thing was. Brittany had to explain it to me. This is... Help me, bridle. This is the bridle. No, this is the bridle. This is a horse thing. That's what you call this. This right here, you see what I'm holding right there? That's the bit that goes in the mouth of the horse. So it would go something like this into its mouth. I'm not going to put it in my mouth. But it's going to go into its mouth, and there's going to be reins on the side. And you can pull the horse this direction. You can pull the rein that direction, and it turns the bit, thus directing the horse. A 1,000-pound horse that eats 20 pounds of food a day, that can haul 2,500 pounds behind it, can be controlled by this little tiny bit. And James says the tongue is a lot like that. Not very big, but oh, is it powerful. And it's powerful enough to even control your actions. The second simile that he uses is that of a ship, of a boat. How many of you have ever been on a cruise? I don't know why you'd ever do that. Why would you do that? Don't you know the ocean's underneath you? And it goes way, way down there. Cruise ships are huge. I found this out this week. The average cruise ship is 1,000 foot long and 200 foot wide. Feet. Is it foot or feet? Doesn't matter. It's big. A ton is 2,000 pounds. The average cruise ship weighs between 70,000 tons and 180,000 tons. Huge, massive, heavy, and they're directed with just a few little rudders on the back of the boat. The captain turns the wheel, and the rudders turn and guides and directs the boat directly where he wants it to go. And James says the tongue is like a rudder. Look at verse 4. He says, consider ships, though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. Here's James' point. Small things can have huge impacts on our life. And our words are no different. That's what he says in verse 5. So too, the tongue, though as a small part of the body, it boasts in great things. So what is James telling us? What's he trying to say? What he's trying to say is your words have the capacity to control your actions. It boasts of great things. Here's the modern vernacular of what James is saying. Are you ready for it? You can get yourself in a lot of trouble by running your mouth. Your mom ever tell you that? You ever tell your kids that? You ever want to tell your kids that? And all God's people said? Amen. Listen, your words reveal your belief. And your belief produces your behavior. When you speak, those words reveal what you believe. And James says the tongue, although small, is mighty, and it has the capacity to control your actions. Secondly, and scarily, the tongue has the capacity to destroy your life. And now we come to the main point of these 12 verses, the seriousness of the tongue. I've seen a few similes. The tongue is like a bit in the horse of a mouth. It's like a rudder on a ship. But now we see the metaphor. Look in your Bible, verses 5 and 6. Consider how a small fire sets ablaze a large forest. And the tongue is a fire. That's a metaphor. It's not like a fire. The tongue is a fire. Consider how a small fire sets ablaze a large forest, and the tongue is a fire. He goes on to say, the tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members. It stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. These are incredibly strong words from James. Listen, if you think for a second that little words don't matter, think again. That's exactly what James is saying. If you think for a second that that little gossip that leaves your mouth, that slander, just a little bit that leaves your mouth, that little lie that you tell, those nasty things that you say under your breath as you pass that person on the street, if you think those things don't matter, I'd invite you to read that passage again. They matter a great deal. And James tells us here that a large forest can be set ablaze. Yellowstone National Park can be set ablaze with a small fire, a small word, your tongue, a small thing that comes out of your mouth can do three things according to James. Look in your Bible, verse 6. The first thing is this: it stains the whole body. I'll read it again. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of unrighteousness. And it's placed among our members. It stains the whole body. Your translation may say it defiles the whole body or corrupts the whole body. Think of it like this. Iowa Hawkeyes are playing today, the women's national championship. I'm excited for that. Are y'all going to watch that? Comes on at 2 o'clock. I've been more excited to watch them play than I have the guys play. They're just fun to watch. Imagine that you know who Caitlin Clark is? She's the one who can shoot a full court shot and nail it. Imagine that you're a big fan of Caitlin Clark and you save up all your money and you finally get a Caitlin Clark jersey, and then you come home and you take bleach in the laundry room, and the bleach then goes all over the Caitlin Clark jersey, and when that happens, the jersey is completely and totally ruined. There's nothing you can do to save that jersey. James says the tongue is like that. It has the power to stain. It has the power to defile, to ruin the whole body. It stains the whole body. Secondly, he says this: it has the capacity to set the course of life on fire. Look at again, verse 6. We're going to read it again. We're going to read this verse several times. The tongue is a fire, he says. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members, stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire. Listen to me. You've got to hear this if you hear nothing else this morning. Your words are powerful. They can ruin your life. Your words can ruin the life of your family. Destroy your relationship with your wife or with your husband. Destroy your relationship with your children. Your words can destroy the church. Your words can destroy your workplace. And hear me, your words can destroy your witness for Christ. That's the warning that James gives us. Gossip, slander, lying, filthy language, off-color humor, backbiting, demeaning, and hateful words are a fire, like the fire in Yellowstone. And it will soon be uncontrollable, and it will set the course of your life on fire. But it's the third thing that's the scariest thing. The third thing that our tongue can do, that our words can do, it's the scariest. Look in your Bibles again, verse 6. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members, stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is itself set on fire by what? What does it say? So what is he saying by that? What is James saying? Here's what he's saying. Your tongue can be used as a tool of Satan. That he can use your mouth, your words, to ruin your family and ruin your life. Here's what one commentator had to say: that the tongue is said to be set on fire by hell indicates that the tongue can be Satan's tool, fulfilling hell's purpose to pollute, corrupt, and destroy. Please tell me you see how serious our words are. Listen to me, there's not a single person in this room, no one in this room would ever sign up for having their life destroyed or destroying the life of their family, their loved ones. No one in this room would ever want to be used as a tool of Satan. No one wants that. But then we let our mouths run out of control. We gossip, we slander, we say hate-filled and hateful things, we lie, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're letting Satan use us. We're destroying our family. The course of life is set on fire, and our whole body is stained. And hear me, if you think James is talking directly to you, he is. And he's talking directly to me. He's talking directly to every single one of us. You're not alone in that. Look at what he says in verse 7. Every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind. Verse 8, but no one can tame the what? No one can tame the tongue. You think you can conquer this thing? You can't. not by yourself. That's the lesson we have to learn. You can't control your mouth. You can't control your tongue. Not by yourself. But don't you know, believer in Christ, don't you know that you have the Holy Spirit living within you? And He can help you. So you get mad as a hornet and you want to blow up, you need to pray up. Well, let me rephrase that. You need to shut up and then you need to pray up. Just be quiet for a minute and pray. Lord, help me be wise with my words. You have a problem gossiping? Well, shut up and pray up. That's awful rude, isn't it? But this is James's point. We can't control the tongue on our own. We can control every other kind of animal, but not this thing. This thing gets us in so much trouble. But we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can call on Him when we need help. And so you do that. You pray. You say, Lord, help me. Help me use my words for good. Help me use my words for your glory. Help me not destroy the lives of those that I love. Help me, Lord. That's the strongest prayer you can ever pray. Help me, Lord. And He will help. Your words have the capacity to control your actions, to destroy your life. And lastly, your words have the capacity to bless and to curse. Look in your Bibles again, verse 9. With the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse people who are made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Listen, if you can stand amazed in the presence, if you can sing about how deep the Father's love for us is, if you can sing about the wonderful words of life and then turn around and gossip, malign, mistreat, and put down the person across the room or across the city, then something is wrong with your faith, because your words reveal your belief. And listen, I hear this all the time, and I'm not trying to step on your toes, I promise. I hear this all the time. I hear people say, well, I just tell it like it is. Maybe you're someone who tells it like it is. Maybe you know someone who tells it like it is. Well, listen, just because you tell it like it is doesn't mean that I hear it like you tell it. And if you're going to be a jerk about it, I'm not going to hear anything. And the goal of communication is not for you to say something. It's for them to hear something, right? And so you need to make sure that your words, when you're talking to someone, that your goal is not to get something out of your mouth, but for something to get into their ears. And so you've got to be wise with your words. And James says, blessing and curse comes out of the same mouth. Praise and worship. And oh, I can't stand that, Brian. He's the worst. They come out of the same mouth. That just should not be. James has two words for us. If that's you, if blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth, he has two words for you. Are you ready for it? Stop it. That's what he's saying. Look, my brothers and sisters, blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Stop it. Pray to the Lord. Ask Him for your help. Your words are so very powerful. They matter so very much. They have the capacity to control your actions, destroy your life, and your words have the capacity to bless and to curse. And listen, your words also have the capacity to reveal that you are a believer in Christ. And they can teach the opposite message too. Your words matter. Hear me clearly. We are saved only by grace through faith. But the Bible tells us that if we believe in our hearts that God raised Christ from the dead, and if we confess Him with our mouth, we will be saved. If we repent of our sins and trust in Christ to forgive us for our sins, we will be saved. And when we are saved, the Holy Spirit begins to take up residence within us. And He begins to guide us and convict us. And He alone can help us tame our tongue. Yes. It's only by His help that we can have any hope of taming our tongues and honoring our God with our words. If the Holy Spirit has convicted you today, and you know that your words have not been honoring to him, then you are certainly not alone. I'm going to ask you to do something in just a minute. I'm going to ask you just to sit right where you are and just sit and talk with the Lord. We're going to have 30 seconds of silence. And I just want you to talk with the Lord. I just want you to sit there and have a conversation with him. Tell him you're sorry and ask him for your help. The biblical word for that is repent, expressing sorrow and asking him for help. If you know your words haven't been honoring, I want to ask you to do that. If right now the Holy Spirit's convicting you and you know that you are not a believer, that you are not saved, then during our 30 seconds of silence, I want you to sit and talk to the Lord. And I want you to tell him that you repent of your sins and that you trust in Christ alone to save you for those sins. And I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you can go ahead and do that, bow your heads, close your eyes. And my operating principle, my assumption here this morning is that you have business to take care of with the Lord. And I don't know what that is, but you do. So in the next 30 seconds of just total silence, you pray. Take care of the business you're going to take care of with the Lord. After 30 seconds, I'm going to finish us in prayer.